Start some trouble and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Oh, return of the Mac. K-Mac, that's me, right back from break. Thanks for not going anywhere. 1 hour down, 4 hours to go. No, this is a four-hour show. I'm used to doing five, Dove. I'm used to a five-hour KM to AM. This is KM in the AM until we get to 12. And I don't know. I don't have a working name for filling in for BT and Sal. Keith McPherson on the fan. Let's get back into it. 888-808-1019. I was talking a little bit about Lindor in the MVP conversation. There is a conversation. Rich is in Brick, New Jersey. Rich, you're on the fan.
Hey, Keith, this is certainly different talking with you in the morning. How are you today?
I mean, it's a little weird, but I think it still works the same. You call in, I'm here, me here, you there.
Hey, there you go. Usually I call and talk to you and complain about the Yankees. We'll get to that, though. But this whole Francisco Lindor thing, with, you know, as a New York sports fan, how can you not consider him in the conversation within the last 10 games? He's been batting 366, 15 hits, 3 home runs, 6 RBIs, and 11 runs scored. The MVP is supposed to be for most valuable player. And if his team, the Mets, get into the playoffs, it's certainly going to be because of him.
I'm right there with you. It can't just be the Ohtani Award because Ohtani is a unicorn. It can't just be, oh, Ohtani has 40 stolen bases, 40 home runs. He's the fastest player to do it with the Dodgers or something like that. Like, I don't care. Like, this is New York. This is the Mets. This is a Mets team that looks to Francisco Lindor to take the first at-bats, to set the tone, to, you know, save runs, to carry the team. He's the highest paid player on the team. If they make it to the postseason, there is a conversation. I know Ohtani's going to win it. I just was saying how, you know, if it wasn't for Judge, Ohtani, it would be the annual Ohtani Award. And Ohtani's not pitching this year. So there is a conversation. When you look at F WAR, it's 9.5 for Francisco Lindor, 9.3 for Shohei Ohtani because he doesn't play any defense.
There you go. Now back to the Yankees. I am upset with Brian Cashman and what he's doing.
What do you mean?
Right now, he's blocking the way for two very good contributors in order to play either every day or even be on the roster, just so that way they can hold on to a rookie, quote-unquote, status.
Mm.
You know who I'm talking about.
Jason Dominguez and who else?
Keeping them down there. And he's wasting away and sitting right now. One of the hottest hitting Yankees going to probably be cooling them off, arguably maybe the third or now fourth after yesterday, best hitter on the team, which is Austin Wells.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Listen, I'm thinking both guys in the farm system. Austin Wells had a great month of July. We needed it. We absolutely needed it. As soon as Trevino went down, that opened the door for him to fight or flight, for him to sink or swim. And, I mean, he didn't just survive, he thrived. He was the catcher of the month in the whole league for July. And I think Aaron Boone even said that he deserved starting time, he deserved that nod. But he's a rookie, it's a small sample size. And they look at Jose Trevino like he is a platinum glove catcher, because he is a former All-Star. And when he hits, you don't worry so much about Austin Wells. It's just that Austin Wells is a better hitter, left-handed hitter. He protected Judge, so you want to see him in there every day. They're going to play Trevi, though. I'm not sure, you know, the starting rotation, how they lean one guy to another. You know, Cole's last start, I was for sure thinking, oh, it's going to be Trevino catching him. And no, they put Wells in there. You know, they're going to play their matchups righty-lefty. They're going to play Trevino. They're going to platoon those guys out of respect for tenure. That's what the Yankees do, right? DJ LeMahieu gets run out there all of those games out of respect for him being a veteran in the back of his baseball card. Same thing with Verdugo, Grisham. Like, these guys are going to play because they are Major League Baseball players more so than these young guys that could potentially be here, like a Jason Dominguez in the outfield or Austin Wells behind the plate.
Keith, I'll leave it with this final say, and I'll talk to you later on. Respect doesn't win you championships. Performance does.
Well said, Rich. I'm with you. There's no more time for that. Play the best guys. I mean, when I'm in here at night going on my rants, a lot of times coming from Yankee Stadium, I'm like, enough already. What are we doing? Right? I remember a couple months ago them saying DJ LeMahieu deserves to play. No. It's what have you done for me lately? I don't care about what DJ LeMahieu did for the Rockies. I don't care what he did for the 2019-2020 Yankees. It's 2024. I need the best guys out there today. 888-808-1019. Jason Dominguez, the conversation around his service time, I believe we're past that. The conversation with Rookie of the Year, we're past that. We're past that, folks. It's September this weekend. Like, the summer has come and gone. That's it. Like, Sunday is September 1st. We're done with that. The rosters will expand. You will see him. You did get to see him as the 27th man in the Little League Classic. I mean, I look at Verdugo and I look at Trent Grisham and I say that could definitely be Dominguez. But I know they also are developing Dominguez. He's young. They want him to get more at-bats. Absolutely dominate. He did. He went from going 0-for against Tarek Skubal and the Tigers, and then the next day that he goes out there for the Rail Riders, I think he had like 4 hits, a triple, like he was going off again. So they're developing this guy. We've got plenty power. We've got plenty hitters. Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton. I'm in here watching Yankee Encore. They just went back to back to back. I still am thinking about how ridiculous that is of a game to go to see that live. I know Hoff was talking about his son went to the game, and you know his son is a Mets fan, a Yankees fan. But I remember early in the year his son wanting to go see the Marlins face the Mets because he's a big Jazz Chisholm fan. And now Jazz is back with the Yankees wearing his Prada shades and his gold chain. And, you know, he was wearing the Aaron Judge football jersey, the 9-9 jersey. I'm like, I need that. I got to go. The Yankees promotions, it was Juan Soto figurine day. Old timers day, that's tough. That's tough to bring in the old timers and then have a performance like that. But hey, clearly something happened. Something rubbed off. Something was transferred the next day. The Yankees come out there. They take the series. They handle business. And, you know, one of the things I was saying going into the weekend was, oh, this is a big selling point for Juan Soto. This is his first old-timers day. I know he's a big Derek Jeter fan. I know he's going to be rubbing shoulders with the captain. Well, two captains. I mean, he hits in front of Judge. That's a big selling point. But seeing Derek Jeter come back and seeing Derek Jeter in a Yankee uniform and Derek Jeter telling stories and talking to him, I think that's a huge selling point for Juan Soto to want to stay. You know, the fans are out there chanting, please stay, Soto. And he talked to Brian Hoken and he said, I don't know, they have to talk to Cashman. No. They're not talking to Cashman. They're planning fire Cashman nights. They're mad at Cashman's deadline. They're mad. Cashman got Juan Soto here. It's not good enough. Now we got to see it all the way through. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Junior in Jamaica, Queens on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith. My apologies for ahead of time. I'm working right now, delivering mail, so I'm doing background noise. My apologies.
You sound good right now. You're all good. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. I just wanted to talk about Judge and Soto. Judge, if we take into consideration 2018, 2020, in 2023, when he didn't have those injuries in the pandemic, he would have had more home runs. Like right now, everybody's talking about, is he a top 10 Yankee? If those seasons would not happen, he would not get injured, the pandemic would not happen.
Yeah.
It would have been probably close to 400 home runs, even more.
He didn't come up till he was 25. He's 32. When you think about his age as well, right? Like I mean, I hope the guy stays healthy for another, you know, 6 years, whatever it is, 7 years. But that's a part of it too. The seasons that were shortened where he was hurt, the pandemic shortened season, and his age.
That's true. Correct, yeah. Talking about Soto, the impact that Soto has had on Judge. Like, let's talk about 2022 and Judge 2022 and Judge Tour 2024. The impact that Soto has had on Judge made Judge way better even a player. And I'm excited about that. Like, after this season, the Yankees have to sign Soto. Like it's a no-brainer. Like, I'm a Yankees fan. If the Yankees don't sign him, that's it. I'm quitting on the Yankees, you know?
Why is that? After this weekend, that's the theme now. I saw my guy, Joe's McFly, put that out there, and a lot of Yankee fans are now, they're putting their foot down. If Juan Soto goes, I go.
Yeah. What if they win the
World Series this year and let Juan Soto go? You guys aren't gonna you're not gonna be a Yankee fan after they win 28?
Because thanks to Soto, Judge is a big factor, but Soto and a healthy Stan, come on, I'll be like I'm not sold on Stan when he's not healthy, but you know his bat. I think you know what.
I mean, he's another prolific home run hitter as well. As we're talking about Judge, this is another guy on his way to 500 homers. I don't mind Stanton when he's batting fourth, fifth, and hitting the ball out. Yeah.
Yeah, if he gets hot and Soto still remains hot and Judge remains hot, I think Judge has a crack to hit more home runs. Like, I have a feeling that he'll definitely eclipse if, you know...
Judge hitting between Juan Soto and Giancarlo Stanton, like, you got to pick your poison. Thanks for the call, Junior. 888-808-1019. A couple things from that. We'll put that out there for more people to call. If the Yankees don't, and now I'm watching in the eighth inning, Yankee fans doing the wave. They did the wave every single game of this homestand. I got to find the people that decide in their section, hey, we're going to start the wave. And we're going to get you banned. We've been trying to ban the wave for years. Anyway, back to the conversation at hand. If the Yankees don't sign Juan Soto, are you out? 888-808-1019. What if the Yankees win the World Series and Juan Soto decides he wants to be a San Francisco Giant? You out? We can't fast forward to the winter meetings. I'm not thinking about that yet. And I know I've had a bunch of shows where I'm, you know, hey, well, the Mets could offer him more money, and the Mets look like they're having fun, and if they're a postseason team, that improves their brand. He's not leaving New York, in my opinion. And I do feel like Hal Steinbrenner and Steve Cohen are going to have a quick conversation about the guy. I don't think that here in New York, with the media and press, the level of media and press that we have, that they're going to drag this out for weeks trying to outbid each other. I think they're going to both court him, right? Juan Soto wasn't courted by the Yankees. He was traded here. I like when he was immediately traded here. He went to the Yankees facility in the Dominican Republic, showed face there. I mean, that's a good look. I'm sure he'll want to go back if he's a Yankee, but the Yankees didn't have the chance to court him like they did a Gerrit Cole. You know what I'm saying? Yamamoto was just in that. Yankees, Mets, Dodgers, Phillies, a couple other teams, where we heard about what Steve Cohen did to try and wow this guy. We heard about, you know, the French cuisine that he took Yamamoto's whole family to. Yamamoto, Mama Yo-Yo. Either way, he was never leaving L.A. Once he saw L.A. and Ohtani was there, he was just using Steve Cohen to run up the price. Steve Cohen had this man at his estate just to run up the price. I mean, they played the Mets so well to get the Dodgers to just say, yeah, we'll do it. Yep, that's fine. I don't expect the same type of negotiations and pursuit for Juan Soto. I do expect Scott Boras to want top dollar. No deferred money. He's going to want that money right now. I do expect a high AAV and a lot of years for a 25 going on 26-year-old guy. 13 years is about where I think it's going to be. I don't think you're going to pay a guy till 40. But, like, when you look at Soto, he could be a DH at 39. His plate discipline, his approach. Yeah, Father Time's going to catch him where he might not have as much power. But, like, he's still going to – I don't know. I look at this guy, and he's just a ridiculous guy. Scott Boras called him the Centurion. I started calling him the Centurion Ferrari. He's a luxury race car. He's rare. Him and Judge together. Judge is the most valuable Lambo. It's a Ferrari and a Lamborghini. Pick your poison. You got to pitch to Judge at this point. I don't know what happened. It was like a week of intentional walks and then a week of homers. Let's go to the Bronx and talk to Rob on the fan. What's up, Rob? You got it.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, sir. Hey, I was just going to just talk about what you just said right now, that they're pitching to Judge, right? So, listen, I've been a Yankee fan since 86, 87, long-time fan. However, as I get older, I'm 48, I'm looking at baseball as a whole, right? So I'm just thinking, some of the pitches just the teams, have they just given up on the intentional walks or just they don't care, just having their name behind, hey, I was the one that gave Judge his 63.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's two things. Thanks for the call, Rob. Like, I don't think there's one single pitcher that's like, I want to be on Judge's list. I think some of these pitchers think that they can get Judge on their list. I think some of these pitchers think that they could actually get him out, strike him out. But then also the manager has a part in that. The manager can come out and be like, yo, walk him, intentional walk, throw the fours up. But the manager's letting these guys go. And that's what I'm saying, pick your poison. You can't pitch around Judge. There were at-bats this week in the Gardening Series where I thought they were pitching around him. I forget who he was facing. But at first they start not throwing him strikes. If you throw it in the zone against this guy, it's going to get rocked. It's going to be put out of the stadium or out of the playing field. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Coming up, Brian Hoke will join us to talk about his new book, 63, that he's going to write. He wrote 62 when Judge broke the AL home run record 2 years ago. I think Hoke's going to have to write a second part of that book. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, yeah. Right back at it on The Fan. I mean, this show is flying already. We're 90 minutes in, and I said at 11:30 I was going to bring in a guy who is my favorite, just one of my favorite beat writers, reporters, even better guy, a great dad. I literally get excited. Pause. I literally get super happy and pumped up when I see this guy in real life from the first time I met him to the last time I saw him. And now he's joining me on The Fan. It's Brian Hoke, ladies and gentlemen. Do you guys know who Brian Hoke is? Do I have to give you guys, I should give you guys actually like a working title instead of just, telling you he's my favorite. Brian is the Yankees reporter for Major League Baseball. He writes articles, he tweets, he's funny, and he's a Yankee fan on The Fan. What's up, Brian?
What's up, Keith? KM and the AM. Look at us.
I know. What? KM to AM. I see like. Usually I'm asking if you can come on at 10:30 p.m., 11:30 p.m. The last time I reached out to you, you were going to dinner with John Sterling. I was like, don't even worry about it. Don't even, like, go do that. That's much better than calling in to join the show. So filling in for BT and Saturday, good opportunity to bring you on.
Absolutely. Well, it was great breaking bread with John and seeing him. He looks great. He sounds great. And then the next day he went on the air and did a couple of innings. So he's fantastic, man. He just hit the ground running. It was like no time had passed at all. And so he's really enjoying life right now. But I kind of feel like he might be getting the itch to come back a little bit.
Yeah, I saw that story come out the next day that it's up there. It's in the air for John Sterling to come back and do postseason games. So it better be a long postseason run if that's on the table.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, definitely. But no, I mean, it was just so good to hear him step into the booth again and just hear that voice. It was kind of, Michael Kay said it best. It's like putting on a warm blanket. You just feel like, oh, all right, this is how it feels. And so, obviously we've been listening to John forever for 20, 30 years, whatever it is. So great to see him, great to hear him, and he's doing great.
Yeah, I was actually in the stadium for that game, that fourth and fifth inning, and I put my headphones in to hear John. And I think it was the nine-hitter, Brian Rocchio, for the Guardians who homered, and then things got weird after that. It wasn't that great. He did get to call a Volpe double and stolen base, but then the Yankees stranded that runner. And yeah, anyway, let's talk about it, right? So going from, you know, that game, that first game of the Guardian series, losing that game, they should have swept the Guardians, whatever. But I remember getting on that night. I couldn't wait for the night to end. I was so mad about that loss. So many little things like the infield defense and, Trent Grisham not scoring and DJ LeMahieu not stepping on first base. And fans were mad at the lineup that day because Austin Wells wasn't in the lineup. Well, you know, all of these things are what they are. All in all, the Yankees come back the next two games, take the series. emphatically, like it wasn't really close. And then they go into the Rocky series and take the game. The first question I got to ask you, we were just talking about this, and this is a theme now. You know, I took a call from Rich who said he's still mad at the Yankees. I feel like Yankee fans got to be happy right now. But when you're seeing Austin Wells not get the playing time you thought that he earned or deserved, when you're seeing Verdugo in the lineup every single day and fans feel like Jason Dominguez would be a better option, DJ LeMahieu, they actually did sit DJ down a little bit. But I remember Aaron Boone saying that he felt like DJ deserves to be in there. What do you think about the Yankees' decisions to always lean on veterans and experience over young guys or even calling guys up?
Well, I'll tell you what I think is going to happen is that when this team gets into the postseason, and they are, I mean, this is a playoff team. When they get into play, I see Jason Dominguez starting in left field, especially if they face left-handed pitching, and they've been susceptible to lefties. So I think if I'm one of these other playoff teams, I'm going to stack lefties against the Yankees right now. I think they've got an under 500 record against them. They're going to face three of them in Washington, which I don't think is a coincidence. So Dominguez is your best option, I think, in left field right now. And you saw what they did in the Little League Classic game. You called him up for a day, and that was a tough draw with Tarek Skubal. But that's what I think is going to happen here, and Verdugo is going to wind up as a platoon player just because this is not a week or two here. This has been an extended stretch. As far as Wells, yeah, that's a tough thing there because you say, all right, this guy is our starting catcher and he's going to get the majority of them, but only when a right-handed pitcher's on the mound. And it's like, well, that's the problem we're talking about where teams are just going to keep throwing lefties at the Yankees here. So Wells, I believe, can and will hit lefties. So if he's going to be your guy moving forward, you kind of have to play him every day against lefty, righty. It doesn't matter. And I feel like they adhere a little bit too much to trying to get that platoon advantage, whereas you should just put the best nine on the field every night.
Yeah, I'm obviously with you on that with Dominguez and like where we're headed. I think when you get to the postseason, it's like, listen, like this is for everything. You play your best players. There's so much conversation still about service time with Dominguez and a draft pick and rookie of the year. I'm like, no, we're beyond that. I think they're letting him get every day at bats down there. He's developing still, and then later in this season, we're gonna see him. I'm not so worried about it because in that lineup, you have Juan Soto. You have Aaron Judge. You have Giancarlo Stanton, who's hitting homers again. You have Gleyber Torres, who, not for nothing, leave Gleyber Torres at that leadoff spot now, right? Leave Volpe down there. Leave Verdugo down there. Gleyber Torres is who I'm going to ask you about next. This could be, and most likely will be, Gleyber Torres' last month or two as a New York Yankee. And through the benching, through some of the mistakes, through not hitting and everything from errors to not knowing how many outs there are, I think right now we're finally getting the locked-in Gleyber Torres, and my fingers are crossed that he stays locked in, he stays focused, that he's hitting, and he doesn't make those mental mistakes because I can't have that happen in October where they come back and haunt us. What do you think about Gleyber Torres? You've been able to see him. How has he been demeanor-wise after games in the clubhouse? I think right now he's finally gotten to the place where it's like he's not thinking about the contract. He's not thinking about his Yankee future. He's just going out there playing well for the Yankees every day.
Well, I'm going to steal something that Juan Soto said yesterday about Aaron Judge. And it's not about how you start, it's how you finish. And he was talking, of course, about hitting under 200 in April, and we know what Judge has done since then. But in Glaber's case, yeah, I mean, he had a nightmare season. This is obviously not what he anticipated going into free agency. I actually thought I was never going to see a worse walk year than what Luis Severino did last year, where he just really had an opportunity to cash in and could not capitalize on it. And then here's Glaber this year. So I think that definitely weighed on him going back to spring training. I remember him almost begging the Yankees, please, you know, I want to stay here. He's ready to talk extension. And the Yankees were like, no, we're good. And so I think that definitely, on some level, impacted his play here. And I think, how could it not? This is all he's known in the big leagues. He wants to stay. And I think now that the reality of his situation has probably sunk in here, yeah, finish strong. Do what you can to finish on a high note. And I think being moved to the leadoff spot, you've seen some results there, some confidence. You had the big three-run homer yesterday that kind of broke everything open. And so I think if he can finish the way – he's only 1 year removed from being the Yankees' second-best offensive player behind Aaron Judge. And so I think that this is a guy that you're going to keep plugging him in at second base. I don't know what the future holds for him. Yeah, you're probably right. I think Chisholm probably moves to second base next year. But for right now, Glaber's the Yankees' second baseman, and I think finish strong and get into the postseason and try and make your name and be remembered.
You know, talking about the postseason, we're on the phone right now with Brian Hoke, by the way, MLB.com, covering your New York Yankees. Talking about the postseason, you know, we're coming up on it, and I'm tired of hearing about Aaron Judge's batting average in the postseason. I'm tired of that last knock against Aaron Judge's. Well, he's got to do it in the postseason. This is a guy who just had, what, 10 home runs in his last 13 games, 10 home runs, 8 strikeouts. He's hitting homers more than he's K-ing. This is a guy whose name is up there now on ESPN with Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds, Alex Rodriguez with 50 home run seasons, and obviously Judge is clean. Those guys were steroid users. Babe Ruth, I think, his name was in there. You know, everything that Judge is doing, right, it is ridiculous. I've marveled at this guy for years, and the fact that he's doing it this year, is I'm not surprised again. I keep making the joke, no one is talking about his toe. No one is asking him, hey, how's the toe feeling?
Great point. and he's playing center field every day, and yeah, it has not been an issue.
Yeah, easily the MVP. This guy's playing center field because Juan Soto is here. No problem. His numbers are all better this year, and now, you know, the only place that was the homers weren't as prolific or weren't, you know, better than 2022, but now he's increased his pace on his homers. I made the joke about you writing the book 62, and now you might have to get ready to write 63 or 65 or dare I say 70. Go ahead and speak about, you know, that season with Aaron Judge in 2022, and obviously we know how that ended in the postseason, and obviously the difference this year with Juan Soto and what we might potentially see this year.
Been absolutely incredible, and I think I agree with Aaron Boone and a bunch of other people that he's actually a more complete, better hitter this year than he was in 22. I think he's just improved on the margins. He's been more selective at the plate. He's taken way more walks here. He's not going out of the zone, and he's willing to pass the baton. You know what I like about his chances of improving that postseason performance? Let me talk about what 2022 was. He was gassed at the end because there was all the drama about will he catch Roger Maris, and Roger Maris Jr. is trailing the team around and going to Toronto, and you know, every at bat is getting broken into on ESPN. Mm-hmm. They're interrupting college football to show his at bats. There's not going to be any of that this time. I don't think it's as important or significant if he breaks his own record. I don't think he will care as much because it's his record. He already owns the single-season American League home run record. So if he hits 62, 63, great. But if he winds up at 58 or 59, I think what he cares about most is helping the Yankees win here. So I don't think the focus is going to be as much on chasing this record as it will be just getting into the postseason and being in the best possible spot. I don't think the drama is going to, it's not going to be the same. I don't really feel like it will be. If he winds up hitting 63, it'll be like, great. Oh, you know, that's really, really cool, Aaron. But it's not going to be chasing Roger Maris. And so I think that since he's been there and done it already, he'll learn from that. And I think he'll go into the postseason having a little more gas in the tank.
Yeah, I love that. I love that he's already been through it. He already went through the drama of it, you know, all the attention of it. And I mean, that's something that I also use to put this guy as the greatest that I've seen. I'm like, this guy is the captain of the New York Yankees. He's doing this for the New York Yankees on the greatest stage. There's a ton of pressure with social media and the amount of media coverage we have. Like, none of these guys had the microscope on them like Judge. And not only does Judge go out there and perform and hit home runs every time the, you know, ball hits his bat, like, he's a good guy off the field. You never hear a bad word about him. Even when the Staten Island coach decided to say something, like, nobody was going with that. Nobody was actually like, okay, yeah, Judge did something to those kids. And I'm sure the Yankees have already made it right and will make it right. And you know what I looked at it as? I said, as soon as you try to say anything against this guy, he's a silencer. So maybe that was the motivation for him to go crazy this week. Like, he comes out of Pennsylvania, and there's a Staten Island coach saying, oh, yeah, these kids pay your salaries. You know, what was the problem with you? And Judge takes that and he turns that into, okay, well, now everybody in baseball and sports is going to see me go off this week. And we're going to remind everybody that I'm the best player in the sport. I'm one of the best players you've ever seen. And just the way that he carries himself as the captain as well, I can't say enough good things about the guy.
I'll tell you what, Keith, let me interject here. I was with the team in Williamsport. I rode the bus with the little leaguers and the players. Nobody gave more or spent more time with the kids than Aaron Judge did. He probably signed 500 autographs. He posed for every selfie. I mean, and of course, you know, if you have 1,000 people and you sign 999 autographs, there's going to be one guy who says, hey, what about me? But you can't get to everybody. It was crazy. He, you know, Judge said he felt like the Beatles walking through there. And it's really, it was incredible just seeing how he interacted. And he and the whole team, really. They gave so much time there. It was a long day, a crazy day, but very memorable. And, you know, as far as I think that coach said, you know, why didn't he wave to our kids? I watched at least twice during the game that the fans were chanting Aaron Judge and he waved at them. So I don't know what that coach is talking about. I mean, yes, I guess he didn't get his autograph, but Judge certainly gave enough and he did his job there and was a great ambassador for baseball.
And that's that. I mean, no counter from me. I wasn't there, and I already know what I need to know about that. I remember seeing Jazz Chisholm just looking like a kid, just looking like one of the kids.
He loved it.
And I remember also, you know, around that time, he wrote something on Instagram about himself coming back. So we thought that this guy would be out 3 to 6 weeks. It wasn't even 2 weeks. It was 2 weeks ago today that we lost him in the White Sox series, you know, him hustling, making that great play to score. And he's back, and, you know, I think he's going to get going, but I also love seeing him in the dugout with Derek Jeter and Yankee legends. I know Jazz Chisholm is having the time of his life. He's out there wearing the Aaron Judge football jersey, you know, a week before it comes out. Can you talk to us about Old Timers Day? I missed it this year. I was out of town, and, I mean, the game wasn't much to miss. But anytime you get those guys together, CC Sabathia, that 2009 team was honored with Jorge Posada and Mariano Rivera and Andy Pettit and Alex Rodriguez. I'm sure that that was something for this current Yankees team that they took a lot out of. From your perspective, what did it look like Saturday?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was you see these guys when they have the old-timers, and I can't believe we're talking about the 2009 Yankees as old-timers, but they are. It's been 15 years here. I mean, they light up like little kids. I mean, Garrett Cole, and you know, was like a kid in a candy store. Aaron Judge loved it, of course. And you just see the pictures of, you know, Anthony Volpe hanging out with these guys. It's like this was the team. This was the last team that they won it all. They brought a championship in there, and it's what they're trying to do and to get to. So, yeah, Jazz, I don't know where these reports were coming from that he was going to be a negative clubhouse influence in Miami. I'm not sure what went on down there. I know he had a run-in with one of the players down there, but he's been nothing but fantastic since he came to the Yankees. He's been an instant fit there. He gives them a little swagger, a little attitude in that clubhouse in a good way. And I think that what impresses me the most about him is that this is a guy who never played third base at any level professionally, and he steps right in. He's willing to do it. He takes on the challenge, and he's been pretty good over there. I know he made a couple errors yesterday, but I think that's, you know, Aaron Boone said we're going to see some growing pains from Jazz Chisholm. There's a guy who's playing third base at the major league level for the first time in his career, but he's been pretty good over there. And I think a lot of that owes to he was a shortstop, so it's not completely unfamiliar to be on that side of the diamond. And he's done a really nice job. And of course, you know, hitting 7 home runs in your first few games doesn't hurt either when you come over and hit like Barry Bonds for the beginning. So good first impression. More to do for Jazz, but he's going to be a part of this team moving forward. Like I said, he's probably your second baseman next year. So he's something you can continue to build around.
Yeah, good to have a guy like that. He brings a lot of energy. He's always smiling. He's very stylish. I think he's a good guy to have around those guys. I'm glad that it was a quick turnaround for him to get back. Speaking again about Old Timers Day and Jeter, you know, Jeter had some great quotes. This guy's he's just too good on the microphone being interviewed. Just the way his like stage presence or his camera presence, I just laugh at Jeter, his timing. He made a joke about A-Rod wearing his Yankee jersey at home. Derek Jeter was asked about, you know, the Yankees no longer playing the game, and he said, they're not going to see me hit again, and that's perfectly fine. I would love to have been a fly on the wall for his conversations with Juan Soto. I remember being in Seattle 2 years ago for the All-Star game, and it was Jeter who went on and said that Brian Cashman should make a play for Juan Soto at the trade deadline last year, and I saw those two, how they vibe. I know Juan Soto's a big Yankee fan, and there's a ton of conversation about Juan Soto leaving, and I think we've gotten to this point now. We're seeing what Judge is doing. We're getting to the point where like their numbers are already, like, if the season ended today, that's a great season. They still have another month left. So we're getting to the point where Yankee fans are chanting, please stay Soto. We're getting to the point where Yankee fans are saying, if they don't re-sign Juan Soto, they're not going to re-sign me. I'm not coming to games anymore. I'm not watching this team. Do you think that Derek Jeter and Old Timers Day gave the Yankees a leg up at all? And do you think that Juan Soto is loving being a Yankee, hitting in front of Aaron Judge, where it really is the Yankees' sweepstakes to lose?
I don't think – there's two questions there. One, I think Soto does love being a Yankee because he's hit in front of Aaron Judge and he's on the endless team where everything matters every single night. I mean, look at what they're drawing. They're getting 40,000 people a night. There's energy in the building. These games are important. I think that coming from his previous stops, this is definitely different. I know that for Jazz Chisholm, who we were just talking about, this is hugely different than playing in front of 7,000 people in Miami. So I think how can you not feed off that energy? And as far as Old Timers Day goes, I don't know that the ceremony of that really makes an impact on Soto. But at some level, he's got to look out in Monument Park and say, hey, if I stay here for the next 10 years of my life, I'm out here forever a Yankee, next to Ruth and Gehrig and Berra and Mantle. I mean, that's pretty significant. I mean, there's no team that can compare with the Yankees' history. So at the end of the day, I think dollars and cents are going to speak, but I think you weigh all that into it. Sure, of course, it's how many dollars can I get out of Hal Steinbrenner and the Yankees, but it's also the opportunities that come around playing in New York. It's different than anywhere else. You're going to do more media. You're going to be a celebrity on TV and movies if you want to be. Pretty much the world is at your fingertips if you're a star on the New York Yankees. And I think that looking at a guy like Derek Jeter, for example, it's kind of like, oh man, this guy's in commercials. This guy's everywhere. Like even in retirement, he's on TV now because he wants to be. He got to try being an owner. Like you get these opportunities that you don't get anywhere else. So I think that probably is going to weigh into it. But ultimately, it's how much money can he get? And is there a chance to win a championship every year? And I think the Yankees can give you a lot of money and they can give you a chance to win a title every year. It's not a guarantee, certainly, as we know, because 2009 is a long time ago here. But you're in the mix every single year. And I think that's going to weigh heavily into it.
Yeah, we're not winning a championship without pitching. And, this is the second to last question. Just talking about the rotation, we got good performances out of Nestor Cortez, Gerrit Cole, Carlos Rodon, Marcus Stroman, Will Warren. Obviously, he's a young guy trying to, figure it out. And you kind of excuse that. Maybe not because there's been a couple of those, but it is what it is. We're not going to be relying on him to take the ball in October. He's not going to get a start. So my question to you next is, what do you think it is with like Nestor getting it going and Cole locking in? Like, I guess it's just one of the ebbs and flows of the season. I think the Yankees hitting and the lineup is there. We can count on that. But right now with the rotation, I'm more concerned about these guys going out and having good outings. So what are you expecting out of, Gerrit Cole, Nestor in this next turn against the Washington Nationals?
Yeah, it's a good challenge for them. I think this is a stretch here where they're playing 15 straight games against teams at or below 500. So this is a real time that the Yankees can, butter their bread here, so to speak, and make up some ground and kind of open up the gap on Baltimore. So they need to get that good starting pitching. They did on the homestand for the most part, or a couple blips, as you mentioned. But, three scoreless outings, I think, consecutively there. So definitely it seems like, it's funny when they were pitching great until Gerrit came back, and it was almost like everybody kind of exhaled and took a break, and then the numbers just inflated, and they went from the worst from the best starting pitching in the league to the worst for a while, and so it feels like it's back on the trend up here. I'm sure that guys, they've spaced out a few guys, Marcus Stroman specifically, giving him a little more rest here. I think guys may be wearing down. It's a long season, but. I think now is the time you got to turn it on, put the pedal to the metal here and push toward October. So, the break is over and time to get going. It's almost September here.
We're on the phone right now with Brian Hoke, Keith McPherson on the Fan, filling in for BT and Sal. The Yankees will play tonight, 6:45 in D.C., Nestor Cortez versus Mitchell Parker. Last thing for you, did you write the article about Michael Tonkin? I read the article about Michael Tonkin and his journey and all these different things from, moving and him feeling like he found a home with the Yankees. I think it was an MLB.com article.
Yeah. Yep. That was me.
So you know. Okay, so, you know, Michael Tonkin gets DFA'd, and, you know, part of that article was him feeling like he didn't have to look over his shoulder and get DFA'd after being DFA'd twice by the Mets and the Twins this year. And just yesterday, the Yankees pick up Phil Bickford and DFA Michael Tonkin, and that's the end of the road for Michael Tonkin. But, I mean, there was a little run here where, you know, it started off rough, but there was a while where, like, he was in the circle of trust. Yankee fans were perfectly fine with Michael Tonkin coming out of the bullpen so long. But that kind of surprised me. I thought he was – I know he struggled a little bit. I thought he was one of the guys in the bullpen that they had a plan for. Phil Bickford, for me, I don't know. We'll see what Phil Bickford does for the Yankees. I know some Mets fans were chirping at me online about, you know, Yankee-Mets, Mets-Yankees. We have, you know, so many players that have crossed over. What do you think about Phil Bickford and the signing and the DFA of Michael Tonkin here?
Well, I think the move was just to give them an extra arm in the bullpen for yesterday, and they've got other guys coming back. You got Ian Hamilton coming back. Scott Efros is down there. Lou Trevino is down there. So I think that they're going to bring up some other pitchers here and kind of try to strengthen that bullpen. The Tonkin thing did surprise me. I was in the clubhouse, and I was watching him pack his bags, and then their thing came through on my phone. I said, what? And so, but then you take a little – you peel the layers of the onion back a little bit and say, yes, he was fantastic in the first half, but I think the second half ERA was over six. He'd been hit hard in a few outings there. So they really did capture magic in a bottle for a while. I think that's probably the best stretch that Tonkin's ever had in his major league career, a nice find for them. And, you know, I wouldn't say it's absolutely the end of the road. They did DFA, could clear waivers and go to AAA, and maybe he sticks around, but I think that, you know, just talking to Aaron Boone yesterday, he said that was a really difficult one to call Tonkin into the office and give him the talk and say, you know, we're going to go in a different direction here, because this is a guy who, as you mentioned, has had a long road and, you know, being DFA'd four times in a year. And when he came to the Yankees, his wife and kid were still in Minneapolis in their hotel, in their apartment. Yeah. They were trying to figure out what to do, and now they have to come back to New York, and it was just kind of, it gives you a glimpse into, you know, we talk all about the stars, you know, Soto and Judge and Cole, and these guys don't have to worry about anything. But a guy like Tonkin, you're almost scraping to stay in the big leagues. And I really do feel for a guy like that, because you're right on the razor thin margin here, where it's you're a Yankee, you're a New York Yankee, or you're kind of in baseball limbo again. And it can change just like that. So you feel for a guy like that. It stinks, but it is part of the business of baseball.
Yeah, he'll be a Baltimore Oriole or a Houston Astro or something like that. If I had to bet, one of those teams would be like, come on down. All right, last thing for you. You mentioned Ian Hamilton coming back. And I just think that we're going to have a September to remember here. The Yankees have the best record in the American League. They have a game and a half lead to win the AL East. I think they'll be able to, you know, lock up what I'm hoping for, the number one seed in the AL, that by winning the division. And help is on the way. So Ian Hamilton returns in September. Luis Gil returns in September. John Birdie will be available. Anthony Rizzo will be available. Clark Schmidt will be available. Lou Trevino. You mentioned Scott Efros. Cody Poteet. So just having options, having healthy guys available, you know, the more guys you have to pull the rope, the better. I think it's just shaping up for the Yankees to do what they have to do. I'm praying for health, but we have health on the way. What do you think about the Yankees and maybe who's going to be out of here? Like, is Ben Rice going to be DFA'd? Or sent back down? Is there going to be another DFA that we're not expecting from the bullpen? Like, everybody can't play. I know the rosters expand, but got to make room for some of these guys.
You only get two spots. It makes you wish you had the old rules where you could call up, you know, 15 guys in September and have 40. I remember going in and it looked like a football locker room with all the extra lockers you'd have in there. Don't have that anymore. So you only get two spots. It expands to 28. And, you know, we already talked about earlier in this, Jason Dominguez is going to be one of those guys. So there's too many cooks in the kitchen. Yeah, it's going to be some tough decisions there, especially when some of those other guys come back. And so they are coming. Clark Schmidt had a really nice start in Somerset. He'll get at least one more for them. Rizzo's DHing, and he looks like he's going to come back. You know, you mentioned Rice. You know, Rice is not going to get DFA'd, but when Rizzo comes back, is he your starting first baseman? I think that's possible. It's something Soto talked about yesterday. Is saying, you know, when Rizzo comes back, that's going to extend the lineup even more. So some tough decisions here to come for Brian Cashman, but it's a good problem to have if you have all these healthy guys banging on the door and ready to help the team September and into October.
That's it. Brian Hoke, ladies and gentlemen, from MLB.com, covering your New York Yankees. Brian, you're the man. You know you're my favorite. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, Keith, we're going to do this in studio one day, so I don't have to be on the cell phone.
I would love to. You're welcome here anytime. We're way past the COVID times of calling and Zooming in. Yeah, come on down.
All right, man. We're going to set that up one day.
Thank you again, Brian. 888-808-1019. 2 hours down, 2 hours to go. We've done the Yankees conversation. We've done the Mets conversation. If there's anything that you heard from Francisco Lindor being in the MVP talks, anything from Juan Soto and, you know, his free agency, Aaron Judge making history potentially again, it not being the worst loss of the season for the New York Mets, it still being very much right in front of them, and me saying that they're a 500 team, a little bit better than 500. They just need a winning streak here, and here come the Arizona Diamondbacks, where you can't get swept. You can't really even lose this series. Maybe, you know, if you lose this series, it'll be the last days of us saying that it is right in front of you. Still a lot more to do. We haven't talked any football yet. We will get to a little bit of the conversation around the Jets and the Giants and cuts being made across the league. Call up now if you'd like to join the show. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.